to get into the Christmas spirit and the holiday season that is upon us. Welcome, welcome, welcome all. We're going to be doing our Christmas Eve candlelighting service today. And we're excited about that because it's a very sweet and special time in which we allow ourselves to really just open our hearts and our minds to receive the blessings and the gifts of the Spirit so that we can share them fully and freely with our world. But before we begin our service, I do want to take the time to thank. I want to express some deep, deep gratitude. The church here is empty, but last Sunday we had all of the gifts that you all as congregants offered to our adoptive families. And I know that there's some kids. I love when I see the bikes there because I remember getting my first bicycle, and it was wonderful. So I just want to thank you all, whether you gave physical gifts or you gave cards for the families to have food, whatever it was, we are grateful and thankful for that. Well, welcome, welcome once again, beloved ones. I've got some good news for you. We are just 3 days away from Christmas. Yes, 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 yes. Look, I remember as a child how excited my brother and I would be just days before Christmas. You know, we were so excited, just joyously anticipating the arrival of Christmas morning. And we loved Christmas Eve too, but it was like Christmas morning was it. We wanted to make sure that we were ready to see all the presents under the trees that had my name on it. I was looking for my name. I didn't care about my brother's gifts, but I was like, where are my gifts, you know? And it was wonderful. We were filled with so much energy and so much excitement that we could hardly sleep. And one of the memories that I do have, you know how it's hard to bring up childhood memories, but the one that sticks out is when one Christmas Eve, we shared a room and we had twin beds, and we were so excited, and we were talking about, oh, all the gifts and, you know, Santa Claus and all of this stuff. We were determined we were going to stay up, you know, all night, and of course, that did not happen, but we were up and ready to rip and roar, you know, about 5 or 6 in the morning, running into my mom's room, parents' room, getting everything, getting them up because it's like, it's Christmas. And I'm thinking to myself, when was the last time that I was really filled with so much joy, right? The last time that you were filled with excitement, expectation of around something or the anticipation around something so good and so palpable that you couldn't even sleep. When was the last time you could not sleep because you were excited about something? And I thought that that's such a powerful feeling. And may we all be blessed with that feeling, you know, once again in our lives, that we have those moments and those times where we're so filled with joy and excitement about life. May we have that in our lives once again. And this season is a reminder of that for us. Now, we've come to our last Sunday of Advent. And Advent, as you know, just simply means a time of preparation, a time of preparing for the birth of the Christ child. And we have 4 weeks, the 4 weeks of December, the 4 Sundays in December to do that. And basically, we know metaphorically for us and metaphysically, we are preparing ourselves for this wonderful awakening, this birth of this powerful Christ spirit that is in us, that moves through us and as us. And so we take these 4 weeks to build up the anticipation of this awakening, of this birth. And the 4 themes that we receive, or the gifts that we receive during this holiday time and holiday season are hope, peace, love, and of course, joy. And I'm thinking that if we are filled with those things, even the first thing, if you're filled with hope, if you're filled with peace, if you are filled with love, then the natural outcome of those feelings has to be what? Joy. It has to culminate in this experience of joy. And I used to reverse the process, but I like having joy as the last outcome, the last gift that we are giving. Jesus said this when he was speaking to his disciples, and he was teaching them, and he said to them in John 15, verse 11, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." That my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. Now, I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit of joy right about now. Anybody? I'm open for some joy, right? Or to be filled with joy. To be full of joy is to be what? Joyful. To be filled with joy. And I think you all would want that as well. And thank goodness, we always have access to joy. No matter what is going on, we have access to joy. Regardless of the happenings that are taking place in the world, even Jesus said, look, don't worry about the world. I've overcome that. Be of good courage. You know, be filled with joy. I've overcome that. So no matter what is taking place, no matter the happenings in the outer world, we can still have access to joy. And it was Jesus' hope and wish for us that his joy might remain in us. So when I read remain in you, I want my joy to remain in you. That means we must have joy within us from the very beginning. That joy somehow must be an innate quality of being. But he wanted it to remain in us because he knew what he was getting ready to do at the end of his life and all of that. And there might be sadness and grief and, you know, hopelessness and all these other things. He said, no. I want my joy. I'm speaking these things to you. I'm teaching you. I'm opening because I want my joy to remain in you. Now, joy is always, it's an inherent quality of God, but his joy, that joy of the Christ Spirit, is a special kind of joy because it's our joy. It lives in our being. It lives in our hearts and minds. And so he said, I hope my joy, this joy of the Christ, can remain in you, and that not just remain, but that it would be what? It would be full. It would be full. You see, joy is a quality of being. Among other things, there's so many things, but it's a quality of being that lies within us. It's part of our inherent nature. It's a gift. It's the expression of God in us, right? So it's not anything really that is dependent upon some outside source or anything in the outer. Not that, it's not that at all. We have access to it because it's inherent within our own nature. And the degree to which we experience joy, whether it's going to be full or just a little bit or whatever, it's depending upon our willingness to tap into said joy. Whether we can tap into, regardless of what is taking place, the degree to which I can tap into this joy, will I experience and unleash the feeling of joy? Marion Brown, who's an author, said, joy is a God quality within us that no outer experience can fully destroy. It may be covered up, but we can stir up this gift of God within us, and we are instructed to do so. So there's no outer experience that can fully destroy, which says to me, and she says, it may be covered up. Now, life is going to happen. Life is lifing. And when life starts to lifing, we might be subject to all kind of stuff out here. And maybe our joy gets what? Covered up. It never can be eliminated or distinguished entirely, but we can certainly cover it up, right? It's never destroyed because it's a quality of God that is innate in us. However, through our experiences, we can certainly, just like you can dim your light, you can shut off some of your divine love or the expression, we can also dim our joy, and it can be covered up through the experiences of life. So what we have to do is then, you know, we've got to stir up this gift. It's never gone. Even though we have experiences would say, well, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day or this experience. There's no joy here. I'm in the state of grief or whatever it is, you know, stirring it up. We've got to learn how to stir up this wonderful gift that is within us. We've all are familiar with the phrase when somebody says, don't let anybody steal your joy. Because people, places, things, situations, circumstances can have the tendency to seemingly steal your joy, right? And you don't want anyone to be able to steal your joy. So that means if I have the ability to not let anybody steal my joy, then I have the ability to bring up my joy whenever I need it and want it. Yes? Because it's innate. You can't take it. You didn't give it to me, and you can't take it from me. Now, I can give it up. I can put, you know, I can dampen it. But that's my choice. And what we have to recognize is that it is a choice for us to open up and to experience this thing called joy. So we don't want anyone to steal our joy, because joy is a powerful thing. We don't talk much about joy, maybe at Christmas time, but joy is a spiritual principle of being. It is a spiritual quality, and it's something that comes straight from God. I'm talking about divine joy. I'm not talking about the joy that I used to get Christmas morning open. That was some joy, opening up the presents. I love that. But the joy we're speaking of is, it comes straight from God, straight from the divine. And this joy that we are given is meant to heal you, because joy can heal you. It is meant to strengthen you. It is meant to empower you. It is meant to open you up to the fullness or the goodness of God, or to the things of God. So when we try to practice looking for joy only in outer things, that's a recipe, friends, for disappointment, sadness, right? Emptiness. Because that type of joy of looking for the things out here that are going to bring us joy only, those kinds of things are based on conditions, based on circumstances, based on everything being what? Just right. When everything is just right, then I'm joyous. When I have enough money, I got the right person, everything's, yeah, I feel good. But what happens when those things shift and change and move? What happens to your joy then? It's a temporary thing, right? Temporary, that kind of joy, when we're basing it on outer things, it changes like the wind. You know, because circumstances and situations are going to do what if nothing else? They're going to change. That's a guarantee. So if I got all of my hope, all of my peace, all of my love, and all of my joy wrapped up in a particular thing, a particular person, a particular situation or condition, well, that's a recipe for sadness or grief, because those things are going to change. So we want to get into this changeless joy, or as people describe it as unspeakable joy. Joy unspeakable is so great, so massive that you can't even talk about it. It's just so good. That's the kind of joy that we want to get into. And we're going to learn how to listen, because that's an abiding joy. An abiding, not a changing joy, but an abiding joy. And when we begin to practice, to learn how to tap into this abiding joy, because we're going to need to do that in these days and years ahead. We're just going to have to, right? Because I noticed how my spirit, I mean, I had to cut myself off from all the news and my favorite news show. I was like a little junkie, man. I was on there just, you know, listening to everything. And it just took me so down that I recognized, wow, I felt like my joy was gone. I was depleted. I felt just stressed and down. And so we may be feeling some of those things in the days ahead. And believe it or not, what can help get us through that is learning how to tap into some joy. What are the things that bring you joy once again? Because joy is an energy. It's a lot of things, but it's an energy. It's a vibration. It is an expression of God. And so how can I tap into this wonderful energy, this expression, this vibration of God that we might call joy? You know, there are some mornings I may get up and I know that something is off. Something is not right. I don't really feel quite, you know, I'm not ready to spring forth with a mighty zeal to do the things that are mine to do. I'm like, ugh. And when I wake up in that state, I might be anxious. I might be worried about my future. I might be concerned about my health and all of that stuff. And when I recognize That vibration, when I wake up in that vibration, I recognize I need to change that. I need to change it because I can't begin my day because my day is already on a lower vibration. I might not even be able to get out of bed because I'm like, ugh. So I know that I have to shift and change my vibration. I've got to raise it up. And when you raise the vibration, then your energy lifts, your consciousness lifts, your outlook changes. You have more energy. When I used to go to India, we would have a meditation that we would have to meditate and we would have to keep a smile on our face. And believe it or not, that is a powerful meditation because I want you to try to sit and smile and be depressed. Sit and smile, right, and feel down. It's a magical thing because the moment the body, it's like, wow, the moment your body moves into the smile, there's an energy that's released. There's a vibration that's released, and it's a powerful thing. Let me see you all just smile. Yeah. Don't you feel the shift in just smiling? It's a powerful thing. And when you meditate, you can just have a smile meditation. And we would just sit there, and I said, I know the people, it must have looked weird because we're all sitting down with our eyes closed and everybody's just smiling, but it's very powerful. So it's an energy and a vibration, but it's a special kind of energy. It's an energy that, like praise, like thanksgiving, like love, these kinds of energies, they all set things into motion. When you begin to pray, they all, like praise, thanksgiving, love, and joy, they set things, they stimulate and activate the opening of spirit. They call up the things of God. Again, you cannot be, you know, sick or angry or whatever when you're praising. It just doesn't work that way. You cannot do that. And so these kinds of qualities of being that are of God, they put things into motion. They call up the things of God. And most importantly, they open us up to a higher vibration. When you really are vibrating and feeling the energy of divine love opening, it's expansive. Love is expansive. It opens you up. When you are really into deep praise and thanksgiving, boom, opened up. Your spirit is opened up. And that's what we want to do. The more open we are, the more spirit has an opportunity then to move in and to bless us, right? And so these kinds of qualities of being, joy is like that. It's like praise. It's like thanksgiving. It's like love. It is a vibratory thing that opens us up, that lets, we can then let God in. And the moment you let God in, then love of God flows out. The good flows out. And so, you know, it's sort of like what I call a quickening of spirit that happens when you're able to feel joy, when you're able to raise your vibration to that level. It's the movement of spirit within you. That when you're experiencing true joy, there's movement. Again, you can't be joyous and be down. It does not work. But the moment you tap into joy, there's a movement of spirit in your being. This is very powerful. It's very powerful, folks, because you can actually move into, when you start praising and giving thanks and loving and feeling joy, then joy is the result of all of those things. And it is this joy that wherever there's joy, there's the fullness of God. That's what the Bible says. Where there is joy, there's the what? The fullness of God, the fullness of good. So joy opens you up to having more good. So stop looking about what's going to happen and focus on the joy and the presence of God, and the good is able to come. Joy is like God in action. It's because it's a movement. It's an energy that moves you. Joy is the movement of God within you. It awakens you, it revitalizes you and your entire being. Charles Fillmore, who's the co-founder of Unity, said this. He said, joy and gladness are strength-giving, especially if the mind is fixed on the things of spirit. And then he says, hence, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? It's strength-giving because vitalization happens when you feel and tap into joy. And so it's joy and gladness. Oh, my heart. The Bible says, you know, all the earth should be glad and joyous. This is why the angels are like, ooh, there's something coming in. You're being given this quality of joy and gladness where you can praise, you can open up, you can give thanksgiving. All of these things is coming to the world through this Christ essence in you. So you've got to tap it. You've got to stir it up. Because things like fear and doubt and anxiety and depression, all of those things weaken you. They drain your energy. You know, when you're depressed, you don't feel like even moving and getting out the bed or doing anything. No energy, right? When you're so worried about things, you have no energy to take action. When you're fearful, you don't want to move. You might even be paralyzed. All of those things weaken you and they zap you, whereas joy is life-giving, life-affirming, life-vitalizing your spirit, your being. It strengthens you. It strengthens your bones. It strengthens you physically. When you're in joy, you're releasing certain hormones that build up the body and you're just filled. You're able to do more. Right? And so it literally strengthens your bones and it gives you strength so that you can do the things that are yours to do. It builds up your endurance, your capacity to keep on keeping on. You know, because when you're filled with joy, you can keep on keeping on. There was a video I saw of an older gentleman who had canes and whatever. It was in a wheelchair. And then all of a sudden some music came on and he hopped up and threw them canes down and he was just getting it. The joy of the Lord gave him what? Strength. Now, I'm sure during the day he was walking with the canes and he was old, old gentleman. But when something hit him and he had to move, that music hit him and he put them canes down. That is the joy of the Lord that will physically give us strength as well as mentally and emotionally to keep on going, to keep moving because joy is a movement. It's an energy. So what we want to do is to begin to practice and to cultivate this awakening of joy in us. It's there, but we're so used to seeing, I get it through things. No, it's in you. How can I release more of my joy? How can I release this divine energy? You know, how can I stir it up? And there may be some outer things that give us a good push. You know, beauty does it for me. When I go to Sedona and I'm at Enchantment and I'm sitting out looking at those red rocks and, ooh, it just opens up. I'm just, the beauty alone opens me up. Find what it is. Maybe you want to do some gratitude, you know, in the morning. Take three things. What are you thankful for? Before you put a foot on out of the bed, just think of something. Thank you. Thank you for, I can look out and see the sunlight. Or thank you for the warmth of my bed that nourished, whatever it is, find something to activate and stimulate this joy capacity because it'll get you going and it'll get you moving. And what we want to do is we want to be quickened. Joy is like a quickening. And one of my favorite experiences about when we are quickened in the spirit. You know, I know some of you have been or seen on TV a lot of the holiness churches where people have gotten what they call getting happy. You know, my grandmother used to get happy. And when she did, she'd throw that pocketbook and, you know, it was all over then, you know. Right? And the same thing happens. There are people who can't move, but when they get happy, all of a sudden they're able to do such great things. They're filled with such great joy and spirit begins to move them. And I call it, it's like the quickening of God. Joy is like a quickening. When it happens, when you tap into it, your whole being is quickened. That is, the movement of God begins to happen for you. And then you are strengthened with health, you're fortified from within, and you're empowered. So with this Christ being, this Christ quality, we want to be able to be quickened. We want to be able to say, ooh, my soul does magnify the Lord. That's what Mary had to say when she was, ooh, my soul does magnify the Lord. I looked up magnifying and glorifying. When there's an energy that moves through you, you are in that state of glory, of magnification, expansion, growth. So I want to get up every day and say, ooh, my soul does magnify the Lord. It glorifies God. My soul is full. It's full of gladness. It's full of joy. And I have the strength because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when I'm magnifying my joy and my soul is glad and happy and stimulated, then I have the strength to do whatever is mine to do, to meet whatever I have to meet. Come on, God, bring it on. Let's go, because I've got that quickening of spirit. I was reading what Mr. Fillmore said about quickening as a spiritual, and I think joy is a spiritual activity and a quickening. So it's a movement of spirit in you. This is what he says about spiritual quickening, or I like to say true joy. It's an inflow of divine vitality into the body. It comes into you. When you're quickened, you got it's a little something, right? It says, it's an inflow of divine vitality which flows into the body, which follows the affirmation of truth. So the moment you tap into you really tap into a truth, an affirmation of truth, there's a quickening that happens because truth is the word of God. So to quicken is to make alive. I want to be made alive. The quickening of the spirit in the mortal body makes it eternal and incorruptible, not subject to death or corruption. And what that means is this: when this energy in you that is of God is quickened, even in the body shifts and changes. It may go through its transformation, the form of it, the little physical, but the spiritual body of which we are all have, that's incorruptible. That is eternal. That just gets stirred up and it lives on and on. And there's no, thank God, because spirit can't die. If spirit could die, we would be in trouble, right? So there's a scripture that says, you know, at first, the first birth is of the earth. This is what the scripture says. The first birth is of the earth. That means we come into a physical being and it's sort of mortal. But the second birth is of God and it is immortal, it is spiritual. So, you know, it is born a physical body, but it is raised a spiritual body. This is what we want to be able to raise. And I don't believe we have to die to raise our spiritual bodies. We can do it here and now. So, spiritual quickening is a waking up of the whole man to the full consciousness of what he is in the sight of God. So spiritual quickening is a waking up of the whole person, the whole man, the whole woman, to the full consciousness of what he is in the sight of God. And what are we in the sight of God? We are the Christ, children of the Most High God. We are divine in our nature. That's what the Christ spirit is. And so when we begin to have this awakening, this quickening, we begin to wake up to who we really, really are. And wake up to all the powers and the spiritual qualities that go along with the Christ spirit. As we light our candles, we will see these 12 wonderful powers and qualities of being that are in us too, that we need to quicken. So it says the sense man is only half awake, which means when we're using this egoic mind, when we're just relying on intellect and all the things of the world, we're half awake. And this is what I love. He says, they are half aware going about in a dream and thinking it's real life. See, we go ahead, we think, oh, this is real out here. This is what's really happening. No, this is all illusion. This is all stuff. This ain't reality. Spirit is the only thing that is real. And when we begin to have a realization of our own divine nature, this spiritual energy, and we start to be quickened to that, all the things out here that are not necessary for us to have begin to fade away. And we begin to see and act and move in a different consciousness, in a different energy. Since the word of God is quick, and when it enters into a man, he stands upright on his feet, his divine understanding, and he knows and sees himself. As he is. He is wide awake, alert, quick, and powerful. I love that. He is wide awake, alert, quick, and powerful. Let's affirm, I am wide awake, alert, quick, and powerful. Ooh, yes, I am wide awake, alert, right, quick, and powerful. I like that quickness. I don't have to stop dilly-dallying with all that stuff. Mm-mm. Quickly get to the truth. Quickly get to spirit. Quickly get back to God. I'm wide awake, alert, quick, and powerful. And then it says, he uses a quote here, this from the scripture, from Romans 8. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. So we want to have this spirit of the Christ, which is hope and peace and love. And yes, the joy and the quickening and the power of God to be with us and to move us. This is what we are celebrating this seasoning, this birth. This is what is needed, this light, this energy that is being called forth on the planet now. And we are the ones to bring it forth. But we've got to quicken it in our being. We've got to stir it up. We're going to have to rely upon it. And notice when your spirit wants to get down, no. Let me energize. Let me experience some joy. What are the things of joy? And sometimes it might be just me saying, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. I took a breath. Yes, thank you, God. Oh, there's peace. Oh, look at the beauty of the sun. Counting the whatever it is, find the things that connect you to the spirit, to the beauty of this life. Not this world, but this life, right? Because there's going to be some trials and tribulations in the world. But we're not in that. We're not of that. We're in spirit. So this is our wonderful opportunity to allow ourselves to experience the fullness of joy and to have that joy that remains in us. So as we close out this year and we prepare ourselves, because what we're doing right now is preparing ourselves for this new year, and we're taking all these qualities. We want to take the qualities of hope, peace, love, and joy into this new year, right? We want to stay quickened with God and God's word. And we want to let God cook. You know, the new phrase is let him cook. We want to let God cook in us. Let God stir us up. Let him move so that we are moved with God in action. I don't know what's going to happen in the future in 2025, but I'm going to be moving. I'm going to be cooking. I'm going to be, you know, it filled with joy and gladness, doing everything that is mine to do. So we want to let God be filled in us and move us in us and through us so that whatever experience we face, God is also in that experience, moving through that experience and in that experience. And so we're ready to do that. We've been prepared these 4 weeks with these wonderful gifts. And so we're going to have a great and glorious rebirth. Christ will be born, is being born every day into our consciousness and all of the gifts that come along with it. So as you come up during our candlelighting service, we'll have the 12 disciples, and these are 12 gifts, 12 powers that are ours. And then there's also the Christ consciousness, which is the embodiment of all the powers. But just meditate on what quality of being do you think you need as you're moving into this new season, this new year, and be grateful and thankful for that.